Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory communication number 14. Questions and answers, thoughts. One of the most occult phenomena of human life is the realization of the origin and fundamental nature of question and answer. I have already indicated that man does not think, that it is in the subjective illusion of thinking that he thinks. Having established this, I formulate another step in understanding the phenomenon of thought, the one related to the question and answer. The more subjectivity in human thought is transformed into objectivity, which means that the more man realizes that he is not the one who thinks, the more he realizes that even questions and even answers come to him from elsewhere. This step is not easy to recognize and understand, since it is part of the great objective realization of the supramental or universal in man. Man bases his intelligence on his ability to question and seek answers. But man does not realize that questioning and finding answers is already part of a creative process within him that originates on planes that are beyond his mental life. The phenomenon of the duality of the human spirit, which is the phenomenon that allows man to believe that he questions and provides the answers, is directly related to the illusion of the human mind that separates man from the universal. In fact, if man did not live this illusion, man would be universal, and his civilization would be totally different. But since he lives this illusion, because it is part of his involution, there comes a time, during his development and the development of his maturity, when he must realize that the question and the answer actually form a unity that is directly the manifestation of the creative spirit in him. When man is mature enough, that is, when he has sufficiently developed the objectivity of his consciousness, he can easily realize that indeed, the spirit produces in him the vibratory condition necessary for the formulation of a question and an answer. With the adjustment of these thought forms, he gradually realizes that man, the spirit of man, is part of the universal spirit, and that the unity of these two spirits is counteracted by his material system of perception, which makes him believe that he is the center of all things, even the things of the mind. Although man easily accepts, philosophically or spiritually, the idea of total unity between all planes, when it is proposed to him that in fact unity is already pre-existing, but that his veiled ego refuses to accept its reality, and to make itself available to this reality, such that man is forced to live a life in separation from the spirit that already cohabits in him. From there, the human suffering and the splashing that he constantly experiences because of his misunderstanding, his ignorance, and the pride that gradually manifests itself in him, precisely because of this illusory separation. It is difficult for man to recognize that the question does not come from him, precisely because the vibration of his thought is not high enough to create in him the unity of his consciousness. It is easier for him to recognize that the answer may come from another plan, because he cannot totally reject the possibility that an answer comes from elsewhere. But it is at the level of the question that he has the most difficulty realizing that this question, too, comes from elsewhere. But that the question and the answer both have a different vibratory function. The question is to elevate his spirit, and the answer to calm and reassure him. Obviously, the perfect resolution of this duality cannot come in an instant because the thought, the mental body, must be subjected for a certain time to a vibratory change. But it is necessary that those who are already evolving towards the supramental begin to understand the nuances of the spirit in them and their own spirit, so that they can, over time, gradually realize this great unity that exists between the spirit of man and the universal spirit. When the ego has stopped fighting the penetration of the universal spirit in it, when one has understood that the question and the answer are different aspects of the spirit in him, it is then easy for him to begin his great pilgrimage to the infinite dimensions of knowledge. Man is much more an energy phenomenon than a form phenomenon. By this I mean that man, at a certain level of his evolution, realizes that he is energy and that all the aspects in him, which tend to make him believe that it is the form that predominates in his reality, are aspects that he will be able to reject with time. In order to understand, once and for all, that he is at the same time spirit, that the spirit dwells in him, and that the relationship between his spirit and the universal spirit is the total foundation of his being, and that this foundation, when totally realized, can, depending on the case, even transfer the form directly to an energy plane. But before man can achieve certain stages of his possible evolution, he must achieve the first stages of his spiritual and supramental evolution. And these steps are very important because they underlie the rest of its evolution. If man is not able to realize that he is a partner in the evolution of spirit energy, from a higher plane to a lower plane, and from a lower plane to a higher plane, he is unable to realize the unity of this spirit, which is a form of energy capable of supporting both the cosmic role of creation and at the same time the personal role of evolution. It is no longer enough for man to seek knowledge. He must now realize the illusion of polarity between his spirit and the universal spirit, in order to be able to subject the subjective forms of his mind to an infinite dimension of cosmic thought. From there he can then realize the total unity of his being with the cosmic being that dwell within him. And it is only when he has reached this stage of development that it will be possible for man to recognize the unity of which he dreams of knowing, or to understand the aspects since he reached the philosophical age. But it will always be beyond the walls of philosophy that man can understand the reality of unity and can diversify his creative functions in relation to knowingness that is eternally known and absolutely knowable, provided that he puts an end to the workings of his intellect, his subjective intelligence, which tends, by the very nature of his reality, to divide the reality of man against the universal reality. And it is in the mechanism of question and answer that man will find the first starting point towards the infinity of thought, and that he will finally realize that every question has an answer and that every answer comes from a question. And that when the unity of the two has been founded in the supramental, the questions disappear, the answers are no longer necessary. And if man must convey information, this knowledge is no longer useful to him, but it is useful to those who will need it. Those who are already aware of an intelligent relationship with the supramental can easily establish in their personal experience the validity of what I am saying. They can ask the supramental or the intelligence that is on this plane to make them understand that the question does not come from them, but that it comes from the supramental, and that neither does the answer come from them but that it comes from the supramental. Once strengthened in this realization, it will then be possible for them to access higher vibrational levels at the level of thoughts, and finally to begin to penetrate and experience new energy at the level of their higher mind. The destruction of the illusion of the duality of the question and the answer will finally allow them to begin to taste the unity of the spirit, and they will see with time that fear is actually a mechanism based on the duality of the ego. That is, based on the absence of total unity of the spirit in man. I have already mentioned impossible questions and answers. Already, I have explained that man can ask questions or ask impossible questions. That is, questions that are not limited by the rationalist intransigence of human intelligence. The same phenomenon, the same possibility, exists for the answers. So that when man has begun to realize the power to ask impossible questions, which are questions that lie beyond the rationalist limit of his intelligence, he can receive answers that are also not within the realm of the possible but are part of what might be called the infinity of the spirit. And when man has realized the infinite points outside his subjective and intelligent mind, he can begin to know. That is, he can begin to recognize the limits of his experience and realize the absence of limits in evolution, either in his material body or in his mind. It is in this perspective that modern man will have to begin his evolution towards the supramental, because these two aspects of man's psychological reality are formidable obstacles to understanding the unity of his being. The spirit of man is contaminated by the very way that he sees things, and the vicious circle easily becomes a spiral whose point can only be extinguished when man has begun to realize reality in an opposite movement. Some will say, why have these things not been explained to man before? The answer is simple. If man had known these things before, he would not be what he is today. He would not have developed the faculties of his lower mind today. However, these faculties are important because they have enabled man to ensure a sufficiently stable material life according to the natural tendencies of his emotional, animal nature. But since man must now undertake a new journey, as he is about to encounter a totally new dimension of life, it becomes necessary for him to realize what was previously for him only a philosophical, esoteric or occult idealism. Now that man has the power and the right to know the mysteries of his spirit and the spirit, It is simply a matter of recognizing their laws in order to reach this new stage of evolution. The material must come before the plant before the animal before man and man before the superhuman. Thus, the conditions of change and the conditions of evolution. Those who can progress towards the synthesis of the duality of the question and the answer can easily penetrate the supramental and finally, and once and for all, detach themselves from the human condition that has sufficiently subjected the man of the fifth race. It is obvious that a question and an answer is always proportional to the level of human consciousness. The less conscious man is, the more his questions reflect the limits of life. The less conscious he is, the more his answers reflect the impossibilities in life. On the other hand, as the level of human consciousness increases, so do the questions and answers. And when man is totally enlightened by the light of the supramental, questions and answers no longer exist, because they no longer serve to contain the illusory fragility of his existence. The ramparts of his prison having fallen, man is free and all he has to do now is venture into infinity. Know that when you ask yourself a question, it is the mind in you that is trying to make you understand something. When you have an answer, it is the spirit within you that seeks to communicate something to you. When the spirit is totally within you, it will no longer seek to make you understand something because you will be in the spirit. You will be in the knowingness. And at that moment, your mind will be empty. In you, silence will be established, and when you speak, you will speak in the spirit. But what you say and understand will no longer be for you, because you will already have been raised in the spirit of understanding, in the spirit of knowingness, and in the spirit of silence. From that moment on, you will understand that silence is also a language of the spirit, but a language that is not directed to your intelligence, but rather to your spirit. That is, this language will be part of the unity of your spirit. The spirit of man can be in silence. But just because the spirit of man is in silence does not mean that he is not aware of the spirit in him. He is simply resting in the spirit in him. Man does not need questions and answers to be conscious of the spirit. But when he has the question and the answer, it is important for him to recognize that the spirit, at that moment, is active in him. Obviously, if man does not recognize this reality, then the question and the answer become for him pitfalls, obstacles, problems, a perpetual suffering that can only be extinguished by material death. The time has come for man to realize that many things exist without his knowledge. That is, he evolves in a particular medium, and behind that medium, a completely different reality is at the origin of a phenomenon that he does not understand. And for this reason, his life on the material level, on the earth, is very often painful. But it is no longer a question of man sympathizing with his human condition, but of breaking the chains that have linked him to it for centuries. Any experience? Any new realization? Unprecedented. Requires great self-confidence. And it is from this self-confidence that we can build a new foundation in order to live a new life. The previous stages of evolution were necessary, now the future stages of evolution must be lived according to the law of the spirit, and not according to the intellectual desire of man. And this is perhaps the most difficult and occult aspect of the new evolution, of the new consciousness of man. That is, the cosmic consciousness of the superhuman to come. For the man of tomorrow will have to carry on his shoulders the weight of his new knowledge. But it is precisely this weight that will free the race from all possible and imaginable illusions of the human condition. Only the individual, by himself, on himself, can overcome these obstacles. These things no longer belong to a community, but are part of the domain of man, of the individual, where the being alone grows according to his internal capacity to overcome the limits of the psychological illusion of his mortal intelligence. The understanding of the phenomenon of the question and answer is fundamental to the understanding of the relationship between the spirit of man and the universal spirit. It is fundamental to the understanding of the unity of the spirit, it is fundamental to the realization of the supramental in man, and it is also fundamental to the realization that man has the power to understand all things, provided that he has the power to destroy in himself the fundamental illusion of the intellect, of rationalist intelligence. Any philosophy of intelligence, or any intelligence of philosophy, is a limit towards which man must pay a price. And this price becomes the vicious, endless circle, which is opposed, by the very nature of its construction, to the elevation of the human spirit towards the universal spirit. What is obvious to man's rationalist intelligence is not necessarily based on the total unity of the total understanding of his spirit. It is only in the experience of this new intelligent function of the human mind that man can realize to what extent the greatest human intelligence is always limited by the duality of the human spirit. If it had been otherwise, the development of human intelligence, the development of human philosophy, would have been much more linear, much more universal, and the divisions of human thought that exist, either on a regional, national, philosophical, or religious level, would not exist today, and the men of the earth would be united in a single thought. Every time you think of something, every time you think, every time you look with your intelligence, look behind what is happening in your spirit, and you will indeed see that there is another presence behind you, and this presence will manifest itself to you when you have already made the first step. If you refuse to take this first step for any reason, this presence will remain hidden behind you and you will not be able to recognize it. Your possibilities of life and understanding will be further diminished because, already, you will have been unable to bear the weight of this new knowledge, of this very great realization. Obviously, Any realization requires a vibratory readjustment. That is, a reconstruction of the mental state. That's why every time you realize something, you will also need to support the change. But notice that man is always given what he can bear. So that, whatever the realization in you, the adjustment will always be proportional to your own resistance, to your own ability to bear the clarity. The universal spirit in man is a support for his evolution, and not a faction that seeks to delay his evolution. But when man begins to realize certain things, he often has the impression that this presence in him is a faction against him. Man is made of fear and anxiety, and any manifestation of the spirit in him increases. By the same token, his consciousness of fear and anxiety. But this is only due to the work of the spirit in man, only to the elevation of his lower mind to his higher mind. If man learns not to cling to the duality of his mind, he already begins to free himself from his subjectivity and already reduces his fear and worries. But if he clings to this duality, to this new movement in him, the work will be heavy in his spirit and his peace more difficult to achieve. The freedom of man is not in the power of his thought, but in the movement of his thought. And when the movement of his thought is done in a totally harmonious way, his thought becomes power, because it is no longer conditioned by the limits of his ego. When you think, ask questions, and look for answers, don't look at what you're looking for, but look where your question and answer comes from. And you will see that in the question and answer, there is, at the beginning, a lot of you and little of the spirit, and with time there will be little of you and more of the spirit. And with yet another time, there will be only spirit. At that time, the question and answer will no longer be subjective but will be part of the communication of the spirit in you. Man mechanically believes that if his questions are answered, he will find peace. It is a fundamental error, it is a gross error of his mind. As infinite as the spirit is, so infinite are the questions and the answers as well. What man must understand is the mechanics of the question and the answer, in order to solve, once and for all, the duality of this phenomenon. If you want to understand something, ask and you will be answered. But you will be answered according to whether you need to know now or later. But you will get an answer one way or another. If you don't get an answer right away, stop asking. This way, you will not tire your spirit, and the spirit will use the question to give you an answer somewhere in time. The intelligences that deal with the mental evolution of man want man to know the mysteries of creation. But these intelligences know the limits of man, and they know that man, before he can have access to these mysteries, must clarify, cleanse in himself certain illusions, eliminate them completely, so that any answer coming from them does not serve to reinforce the ground of his illusions, but rather to raise the level of his spirit. Man believes that knowledge is for him, It's an illusion of his spirit. Knowledge is never for man who is in knowingness, knowledge is always a manifestation of knowingness. In order to help men to grow in spirit. As long as man has not understood this, it is obvious that the spirit, on the supramental level, cannot provide him with all the answers, because he would use these answers to make knowledge of them, and this would delay his evolution towards a unity, the unification of the spirit. Some of you understand what I mean. Others will understand it later. Harmony in man is a condition of relationship with the universal spirit. It is obvious that if man is filled with questions and answers, there can be no harmony in him. That is why the first step towards human harmony is the understanding of the mechanism of the question and answer, and the realization that any harmonization destroys the duality of the question and the answer. This does not mean that the conscious man cannot ask questions and receive answers. But this means that the conscious man realizes at the same time that he asks a question, and the question is provided to him, that he receives an answer and that the answer, too, is provided to him. So that man is no longer subject to the personalization of the question, but he is subject to the prepersonalization of the question. This leads him to realize more and more creative questions in himself, in order to attract more and more conclusive answers to him concerning the mysteries of creation. When man is detached from the question and the answer, he is detached from knowledge, and it is at that moment that it is easy for him to realize in himself impossible questions, and to also receive answers concerning the mysteries of the universal. If man is to progress towards knowingness, it is obvious that his spirit must be in order. And the order that his spirit must have, in order to be able to bear the weight of knowingness, is an order based on the total unity of his mind with the supramental, which are two aspects of himself that must coexist in perfect harmony. His mind, the small self, the supramental, the great self, and when the small self is found in the great self and the great self is found in the small self, there is in man a totality, that is, a great unity. And that's when it's easy for him to see behind the veil of question and answer, and not take himself seriously in knowledge. If man takes himself seriously in knowledge, he will automatically be drawn to seek the truth. But if he does not take himself seriously in knowledge, he will let pass into through him what must pass, so that what must be done, in terms of his evolution, is done, and not what he wishes to be done. Hence in man the pride of his intelligence disappears, and thus the humility of his intelligence appears in him. And at that moment, his intelligence grows, his intelligence expands, and man becomes universal, and it is possible for him to communicate with all the planes of creation and to know all that is possible for him to know within the framework of his evolution, which is within the framework of evolution. It is only in the harmonious administration of the spiritual energy in him that man can, with great ease, visit the vast realms of experience, both visible and invisible. and bring back to his brother, man, the treasure of his experiences which become for him a sublime and unalterable knowledge. But how can man have access to this knowledge if he is under the illusion that knowledge comes from him? That knowledge, of which one pole is the question and another pole the answer, is from him. It is obvious that this unpleasant illusion must be set aside, must be overcome before man can use one pole of the mind or another. That is, the question or answer during his search and progression towards infinity. That man begins to realize what his intelligence hardly wants to admit, and the doors of the spirit will open in him, so that knowledge will be easy and without contradiction. For the spirit to descend into man, man must ascend to the spirit, and the universal conditions for this meeting must be met. Whoever can recognize them can live them, and whoever cannot recognize them will recognize them later during his evolution. I formulate and have formulated this aspect of supramental reality for all those who seek to recognize and live it. You can't alter what's unalterable, but we can understand later what is not understandable today. That is what the word evolution means.